Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Bruce Alpert, Anne Ball, and Brian Lynn. Later, John Russell will have this week's education report. But first, here is Bruce Alpert.
When students return to the J.J. Hill Montessori School in Minnesota next month, they will find counselors ready to help them. The students will also find teachers and other school workers offering hugs and other support, Principal Fatima Lawson told VOA. She said her employees will show the children they care and want to help. After J.J. Hill sent its 500 students home for their summer break, the school's popular cafeteria supervisor, Philando Castile, died. He was shot and killed by a police officer at a traffic stop. His death and another killing by police of an African-American man in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, fueled protests across the United States. It led to claims that some police officers target African-Americans for use of deadly force. Later, a gunman killed 5 police officers in Dallas, Texas. 3 other police were shot and killed in Baton Rouge. The Dallas officers were on duty at a demonstration called to protest the police shootings of African Americans in Minnesota and Louisiana. All this violence has set off emotional debate across the country about the dangerous work police do to protect people and continued charges of police discrimination against African Americans. Many Americans are counting on schools to help young people make sense of the violence and the state of race relations in the country. Fatima Lawson, the J.J. Hill Montessori School principal, expects students to be emotional when they return to school September 6th. It will be their first day back since Philando Castile was shot and killed. "We will let our students know we are here to help them," Lawson told VOA. She said Castile was loved by the students, aged 4 to 11, because he always looked out to make sure they were doing well. Castile's death became news around the world. After he was shot, his girlfriend, Diamond Reynolds, posted live cell phone videos on social media as her daughter sat in their car's back seat. The police officer's gun was aimed at Reynolds as she spoke about what happened. "He let the officer know that he had a firearm and he was reaching for his wallet, and the officer just shot him in his arm," she said. Warren Drake heads public schools in Baton Rouge, Louisiana's capital. He agrees with Lawson that the most important thing school employees can offer returning students are hugs and love. Drake told teachers and administrators, "The word that should drive their work is respect." By respect, he means showing appreciation for the opinions and concerns expressed by students, their parents, and other school employees. "We need to listen to each other and respect each other's opinions and concerns," Drake told VOA. Donald Hunter is a clergyman at the New Beginning Baptist Church in Baton Rouge. He also directs the city's Black Family Initiative, an organization set up to support families. Hunter said he hears often from young African Americans concerned, if not fearful, of being pulled over by police in their cars for a minor problem and not surviving. The killing of the three Baton Rouge police officers has put the city on edge, Hunter said. All three officers did their jobs well and fairly, he said. Hunter credits Louisiana's new governor, John Bel Edwards, with putting the two tragedies, the killing of the officers and the earlier killing by police of Alton Sterling, an African American, into balance. Hunter said, like the governor, he hopes Baton Rouge city residents and the police will develop new respect for each other. Sometimes good comes from tragedy, Hunter said. Vicky Zakshevsky serves as education director at the Greater Good Science Center at the University of California, Berkeley. She said that starting with the first day of school, teachers and other workers should reassure children that they are in a safe place. The Dallas police shootings affected many people. Hundreds of demonstrators protesting police shootings had to flee as gunman Micah Johnson fired down from a nearby building. Johnson told police he was trying to kill as many officers as possible, according to Dallas police reports. Some students and teachers were trapped at Dallas's El Centro College, where Johnson held police in a standoff for hours before police killed him. Mike Harrington, who teaches history at a Dallas high school, said for many children, violence is common in their neighborhoods. But with what happened this summer and all the publicity it got, I expect more kids will want to discuss it, Harrington said. Harrington said his job will be to observe the discussions and correct statements that are not factual. I'm Bruce Alpert.
The United States government has given a private American company permission to send a commercial flight to the moon. Moon Express Incorporated plans to send a robotic lander to the moon. The vehicle has been reported to be the size of the R2-D2 robot from the Star Wars movie series. It's a huge milestone for us, said Bob Richards, who heads Moon Express. Until now, private space exploration companies have limited their activities to Earth's orbit. Moon Express hopes to begin flights to the moon in 2017, the year in which Google, the technology company, presents its Lunar X Prize. The prize will go to the first privately funded business to land a vehicle on the moon. Moon Express joined the race to the moon in 2012. There are now 16 other companies in the competition. Other private companies and individuals would like to explore space. SpaceX, an American aerospace company, has announced plans to launch its Red Dragon spacecraft to Mars as early as 2018. Another company, Planetary Resources, is making plans to mine asteroids for minerals. Moon Express has said it wants to mine for minerals on the moon. I'm Ann Ball.
Melting ice on Greenland could expose an unused U.S. military base that contains hazardous waste, scientists warn. Camp Century was built in 1959. the base was to study the possibility of deploying nuclear weapons from the Arctic during the Cold War. The Cold War was a period of tension between the former Soviet Union and the U.S., which lasted from the end of World War II to 1991. The base was closed in 1967. Scientists thought that any hazardous material left at the base would be covered with ice forever. Now, new research suggests the base could be exposed to the environment by 2090. The base is believed to contain biological, chemical, and radioactive waste. The study warns that exposed waste could disrupt Greenland's environment. William Colgan is a climate and glacier scientist at York University in Canada. He is the lead author of the study. He said people dealt with waste differently 60 years ago. Now there are new problems related to the climate that people must think about, he said. Researchers have now listed the waste at the base. The hazardous substances include 200,000 liters of diesel fuel and 240,000 liters of wastewater. There are also polychlorinated biphenyls, or PCBs, at the site. Those chemicals are considered bad for the environment. In addition, there is also an unknown volume of low-level radioactive coolant from the nuclear generator. Researchers studied old engineering records to find out how deeply the waste is buried and how much the ice has moved since the 1960s. All the waste could enter the environment as the climate warms and the ice sheet melts, researchers said. The question is whether it's going to come out in hundreds of years, in thousands of years, or in tens of thousands of years, said James White. He is a climate scientist at the University of Colorado in Boulder, who was not involved in the study. Camp Century covers an area about the size of 100 soccer fields. It is about 200 kilometers from Greenland's coast. Nearly 200 soldiers lived there when it was an operating U.S. base. The camp was sometimes called the City Under the Ice. Any possible cleanup of the site could be tricky. The base belonged to the U.S. However, Greenland belongs to Denmark. International law has clear rules about dealing with hazardous waste. But it is not clear on who is responsible for cleaning up the waste from a long time ago. The study was published this week in Geophysical Research Letters, a journal of the American Geophysical Union. I'm Mernush Karamian Ainsworth.
American swimmer Michael Phelps has won more Olympic medals than anyone in history. On Sunday night, he added another gold medal as a member of the USA 4x100-meter freestyle relay team. But the red circular marks on Phelps's upper arms and shoulders received most of the attention. Athletes in other sports had similar marks. It turns out they are bruises left behind from a treatment called cupping. Cupping is supposed to help athletes who have sore muscles feel better. A study published earlier this year calls cupping an ancient technique used in treating pain and various disorders. Forms of cupping may have started over 5,000 years ago. Sometimes the cups are applied with the help of heat. They are also applied using a suction device. The glass or plastic cups are placed on the skin, and the suction device removes air. The cups are kept in place for only a few minutes. The theory is that pressure applied to the skin and nearby muscles from the cup stimulates blood flow. The blood flow may reduce pain in the area. The report says more studies are needed to learn about the effectiveness of the therapy. I'm Dan Friedel.
The American company Tesla Motors recently showed off a huge factory that will produce battery packs for its electric cars. The $5 billion factory is close to Reno in the Nevada desert. The facility is currently about 14% completed, but its robots are already getting ready to manufacture batteries. When finished, the facility will be one of the largest in the world, covering more than 1 square kilometer. Tesla officials expect the factory to manufacture tens of thousands of lithium-ion batteries a year. The company is calling the new facility a gigafactory. The term giga is a unit of measurement representing 1 billion. Officials say the gigafactory will produce 35 gigawatt hours of lithium-ion batteries by 2018. That capacity would be more than the whole world's production in 2014. Tesla Motors is trying to lower the cost of electric car batteries by mass producing them in Nevada. Up until now, the company has turned to foreign companies for lithium-ion batteries. Japan's Panasonic Corporation has invested $1.6 billion in the factory and will continue partnering with Tesla on production there. Tesla chief Elon Musk said the gigafactory will cut battery production costs by more than 30% by 2018. The factory could employ up to 10,000 people in coming years, he said. Tesla has yet to make a profit from its electric car business. This is mainly because its vehicles and batteries cost a lot to manufacture. Prices for the company's best-selling Model S sedan start at around $70,000. Earlier this year, Tesla began offering its new Model 3 sedan with a starting price of $35,000. More than 325,000 people put down a $1,000 deposit and placed an order for the car last March, within 1 week of the announcement. The Model 3 will be the company's least expensive vehicle, mainly because of lower battery costs. The first Model 3 cars could be ready as soon as next year. But it is expected to take at least 6 years for Tesla to complete all the orders. The company says it plans to be producing 500,000 vehicles per year by 2018. The Nevada factory will also make Tesla batteries for electric trucks and buses, as well as backup power supplies for homes and businesses. Musk said Tesla's overall goal is to accelerate the advent of sustainable energy. So we're going to take a set of actions that we think are the most likely to achieve that. In keeping with the environmentally friendly theme, the top of Tesla's Gigafactory will be covered with solar panels. This will provide most, if not all, of the facility's electricity needs. And just in case the factory has to grow even bigger, Tesla has purchased another 7.5 square kilometers of land nearby. I'm Brian Lynn.
This is What's Trending Today. Lee Eun-ju is a South Korean gymnast. She is representing her country at the Summer Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. Hong Eun-jong is a North Korean gymnast. Like Lee, she is the only woman gymnast representing her country at this year's Olympic Games. During a practice, photographers caught them taking a selfie together. The 17-year-old Lee is seen holding her phone and smiling as 27-year-old Hong leans in for the photo. She is smiling too. It was a rare moment of inter-Korean friendship. The photo is being praised for representing the Olympic goals of building peace and understanding between countries. North Korea and South Korea remain deeply divided. Following North Korea's fourth nuclear test in January, South Korea ended all business connections and communication with the North. Yoon Kang-ro is the president of the International Sport Cooperation and Diplomacy Institute in South Korea. Yoon said, "One photo doesn't make any good progress, but I think it's a good starting point." People on social media praised the photo. Ian Brimmer is a political scientist and founder of the Eurasia Group. He tweeted the photo and wrote, "This is why we do the Olympics." And that's What's Trending Today.
English learners can improve their ability to use different words by practicing. One way to practice effectively is through repetition, doing something over and over again. Repetition, however, does not mean repeating a new vocabulary word the same way every time. It means repeating the word while using it in different contexts or situations. This idea comes from Sarah Lin, who works as an educational consultant and teacher at Harvard University's Bridge Program. She says that English learners often have trouble using new words in different situations. They are unable to put their knowledge and skills to use in new ways. If you are like many students learning a foreign language, you have probably faced a situation like the one Sarah Lin describes here.
We learn a new word, and then when the moment comes to actually use it, we can't retrieve it, or we can't use it in a new situation and a new expression.
The problem, she explains, is that the learner's language is not alive yet. He or she is not able to transfer what they have learned to a new situation. In an earlier education story, we discussed the importance of dendrites. Dendrites are connections in the brain. They grow thicker and stronger with practice. Lynn suggests that better dendrite connections can improve retrieval, the ability to remember and use vocabulary words. One way to grow dendrite connections in the brain is to make connections to what you already know. Another way to grow dendrite connections is to practice. They say practice makes perfect, says Lynn, but actually, practice makes permanent. The solution for effective practice, she says, is repetition. However, repetition does not mean what many people think it does.
And it's not just about repeating it the same way every time. You need to repeat, but not just mimicking, but actually thinking about it and putting it in new contexts and new situations.
If the English learner wanted to learn a new word, they would repeat the word. But each time they repeat the word, they should try to mentally put the word in different contexts and situations. After this, Lynn says that the next step for language learners is to search for the new word while reading. If the learners read a mix of different writings, they will find the word used in different contexts. In addition, Lynn suggests that English learners consider what role the word plays in a sentence. Lynn says the learners should think about this question: is the word acting as a noun, adjective, or verb? Lynn explains the reasons for doing this exercise.
And the more you do that variation, and the more you bring in different modalities in how you learn, the more robust the learning will be, but also the more transferable it will be.
One way you can practice her suggestions is to use concordances or corpora. Concordances are lists of all of the words that occur in a written work. There are concordances of famous historical works, such as the writings of William Shakespeare. They show all of the words he used and tell you where to find all of the examples of that word. Concordances can help you look for words in different contexts and suggest other words that may be related to the word you have learned. Corpora, the plural of corpus, are databases that gather information from many sources. When you go to one of the many free online corpora, you can put in a new word and it will show you how the word is used. If you wanted to learn the word sunglasses, you could type the word into Brigham Young University's corpus, for example. You will see a screen that highlights the word you are looking for in many contexts. The next time you learn a new vocabulary word, try to be an active learner by placing the new vocabulary word in different contexts. As Lynn suggests, try looking for the new word while reading. Ask yourself questions about the word. While repeating the word, think about the different contexts in which the word could be used. In other words, practice the same way, but differently. Give it a try, and let us know how it works for you. I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.